Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 221, part 1, The Invisible People. Today is Friday, November 18th, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address, verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's Club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me, but I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down, the messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, you're not all there. Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
Tonight's message is entitled, The Invisible People. Galatians 2 and 10, it goes like this. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. In other words, it's saying, remember the invisible people. Remember and see the unrecognized needs. Well, you can look at rich people and see that they have needs. The Bible says that, we're rich and increasing goods and have needs of nothing, the Laodicean Spirit Church says. And Jesus says, well, you don't really see because you're miserable and wretched and poor. And I think so much of today's ministry is centered in self, remembering ourselves. More for me type ministries. And maybe people think that, well, they're poor because they have no faith. That's a popular teaching, isn't it? Should we forget them then? I think for the most part, people do. You can turn off your TV set. This is, we do the same thing when we see poor people. We just turn it off. We'll say, my, that's too bad. I must do something later on. But we sort of turn it off, don't we? Or we say, they need more faith. Now, there's a lot of people migrating towards Africa right now because there's hunger over there, see, and they want to go over and see that, sort of like going to the zoo. See, but it costs so much money to get over there and stay in this great big 90-floor, air-conditioned, 100-waiter place, you don't have any money left for the poor. The lady told me at the meeting I was at, she said, we used to have these meetings and they'd be over a weekend at the most expensive resorts. Well, see, the funding cuts took care of that. So some of the cuts are really good. You got to cut out certain things and then you get your eyes on what the real needs are. And I thought to myself, I was sitting there and I thought, how many anyway nowadays really remember the poor? And I thought to myself, well, not many because there's so many that are hungry. And I'm going through this thing in my head, And I thought to myself, yes, but the Bible says we must remember the poor. Now listen, poverty is not a virtue. And wealth is not a sin. But on the other hand, wealth is not morally good or poverty is not morally evil. And of course, rich men, well, they can be good. But oftentimes you're going to find more good people where there's poverty. See, virtue is a plant that doesn't depend on the atmosphere around it. But it depends on the hand that waters it. It depends on the grace of God, the grace that sustains it, rich or poor. Good or evil, the rain is made to fall on it all. And so what we forget in our ministries, and I think for a great part in the last 15 years for the most part, what we forget in our ministries is that we're serving a sovereign God who does what he pleases to do. Are you hearing this? Now, I know this, we draw no support for grace from our circumstances, good or evil. And there's a plan in the whole thing. No, I'm not saying that circumstances may not work against this gracious work in our soul and sort of defeat us some days. But I'm saying that nothing sustains grace but divine power, which can work, by the way, equally well in poverty and riches, because grace is the plant, don't you see, which draws no nourishment from the wilderness in which it grows. It finds nothing to grow and feed upon, that's for sure, in the heart of man. Nothing. And all I believe it lives upon and receives comes from a supernatural cause. The Bible talks about we are grafted into the vine, the extension of the root, and the life of the seed. which has to give up its life to gain its life. You really want to feel the grace of God working in you? Give up your life. I guess we can't minister that too much. Give up your life. While I was at the meeting there, and I was with some pretty dignified folks there, I thought, the problem here is, with all of us, maybe something I know better than they do, is that we must give up our life. Because, see, we wouldn't be worried about all these cuts if we had given up our life. We'd find a way to do that kind of work, wouldn't we? We'd find a way to do something. Oh, it's so easy to go out and sit down and minister to people. How about doing something? How about physically doing something? And so I believe the Lord had me there to make the challenge. You know, you can challenge Christians too. You can challenge people in the world. You can challenge anybody with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, faith is no good without works. So you can talk all the faith you want to. You can pray with people all night long, but unless you do something, unless that your ministry has some effect, it's of no use. It makes the blood covenant, the Bible says, the blood covenant of none effect. And so looking at this whole group of people and looking at the Christian, you're seeing a whole lot of laxity. What difference does it make if there's cuts? What difference does it make if there's poverty? God has given you the spirit of creativity and you're able to create things. Did you know that? Did you know how we got started? We created a need. Did they need us in this church, this flesh here? Did they need my flesh and your flesh to minister and just talk? No, you have to create, just like in a business, you have to create a need. See, a lot of times people don't know they have a need until you create something. And so you pray for food, and now you have food, and you give food to people. Now you've created a need for your ministry. Are you hearing this? And people don't even know that they can have two blankets until you say, boy, that's a skinny little blanket you have. And you give them another blanket. Well, I never knew how much I needed this. See, it's up to us to use these eyes. And it's up to us to use these ears. And it's up to us to use these hands. And it's up to us to tell people, hey, you have a need. Sometimes they don't even know they have a need. How many are hearing this? You create a need. You create a need for Christ. How do you do that? By doing Christ-like things. Oh, now maybe in the process you listening on the radio will say, well, yeah, but you should go up and you shouldn't feed people until you minister to them for a half hour. They're going to get up and walk out of here. Say amen. So how do you minister to people? The Bible says, you are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. Your body and your life are your ministry. What you do speaks. Not what you say. Don't you know there's a whole lot of blowhards in the world and in the church? And you can say a lot. And I think this, I think if a person isn't actually involved and doesn't really know what they're talking about, they should keep quiet. And so on a couple of questions I didn't know anything about during this convention, and they asked me, I thought, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I don't want to show how ignorant I am. Sometimes we should keep our mouth shut so we really don't show how ignorant we really are. That takes grace. Does it not take grace to keep our mouth shut? Whew. How many are hearing this? No, it's the grace of God. And all of its roots grow upward, none downwards. It draws no support from poverty, and it draws no support from riches. Gold cannot sustain grace, nor can rags make it flourish. Because I know this, if I know one thing, being here on the north side and the whole of my life living it, that grace is the plant that receives its support from God, the Holy Spirit, and only one way can we receive it. It is, I should say, entirely independent of the circumstances of man. But yet, the Bible says God is pleased to plant His grace where the poor are. Do you think that God is watching the poor? Do you think that God is watching the poor in Biafra or the poor in China or the poor in Russia or the poor in Ethiopia? By the way, God sees all. He also sees the rich. How many heard that one? And a man asked me a question. He said, aha. You almost hear a trap question when it comes. Didn't Jesus say it? Now, they had an open forum here. I mean, they were asking questions about the Bible. Doesn't the Bible say that the poor will be with us always? I said, yes, it does. It also says that the rich will be with us, and really that they're the poor ones, miserable and wretched and poor. You know why that is? Because they don't see the needs of the poor. The poor will be with you always, but see, the real question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to... I said, you know, all of us are just a depression away from being very, very poor. One stock market crash. One bank where all the funds have been embezzled or put off into some oil scheme. One insurance company that has misused the funds and had sister companies all over to keep paper moving all over. No money, just paper. At any given moment can just have a little shade and pull it down and say, sorry, we're closed. Kind of scary, isn't it? Well, it's real scary if you're rich. This is a scary time for the rich. Poor don't have a lot to lose. This is a spooky time, isn't it? It says, men's heart shall fail. Now, you sluggards, that doesn't mean you don't go to work or anything because you don't want to take the chance of getting rich. And there's all kinds of people. They pick on each other. Rich pick on the poor, and the poor can pick on the rich. But it seems to me, for the most part, the Bible leans towards God's people are the poor people. Well, I don't see very many of them wearing these Amway crowns or these Doc Shackle diamonds. I don't see very many of those. I see very few who own mansions or big cars or buy these lifetime memberships to vacation places. Christians do that now, don't they? You can buy a lifetime vacation suite. Can't you? You got six of them. Well, that's great. See, they're at like $1,000 a piece. How about remembering the poor? And I'm not picking on you. You said it. Huh? No, I really think we need to address the problem. How about remembering the poor? I think there's only a few rich people that really know Jesus. Come on now. And I believe that for the most part, his family are destitute, afflicted, tormented, persecuted, denied, and kept, yes, I said kept, leaning daily upon God's provisions, trusting Him from one meal until the next meal, believing then that He will supply their wants out of His fullness. I remember some of the happiest times in my life was, well, it was after my dad had lost two cafes, and we had very, very poor. And I've ministered this many times. When you fold the bed down, you go to bed. The bed was a Murphy bed. You fold the bed down, and that's how big the apartment was. And it was a happy time because it brought unity in our family. You couldn't go anyplace. You didn't have no money to go anyplace. You had to get together. And none of us were born again, but my mother had sort of religious tones from Grandma. And she had all these songs, religious songs, in her mind. She had that kind of mind that would photograph things and take them in and remember all these songs. And we would sing all of these songs together about God, about the Savior, about the cross, about sheep, about the hidden and the divine things, and all of these songs. And I wasn't saved, but I always got a thrill in my heart every time we got together and we'd sing these songs. We'll never forget it. Yeah, we were poor, yet we were rich. Well, let me now mention a fact that God does have a poor people. Are you ashamed that you're poor? Maybe you're listening on the radio. I think we should also mention the duty. We should remember the poor. So there's a duty to remember the poor. And I think also we should mention another thing. We are obligated to keep and to perform this duty. Oh, you say, oh yeah, that's the duty. But now the next step is to do your duty. Well, it's easy to quote Scripture. Remember the poor. But you know, you'll never have the joy of the Lord until you deny yourself and remember the poor. Never. You'll be investing in something so I can give you back something to yourself. And there's no investment that's going to pay off like going out for souls. You can invest your money in vacation time, or like I said, these different places you can go. But there's only one thing that's going to give you a return when you get to the kingdom of heaven. Where were you when them souls was hungry? Where were you when I was in jail and a prison and a widowed? Well, see, if you've done it the least of mine, you've done it to me. What did you do? I believe a lot of times people really don't believe the Bible. Or we would not be acting the way that we're acting right now. Listen to me, radio audience. I really believe there's a lot of folks that really don't believe the Bible. Professing Christians, because they don't remember the poor. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. In fact, they even get mad when you mention it. And so I think firstly here tonight, let's mention here the Lord has a poor people. Isn't that an obvious fact? Well, you have eyes. Jesus says, don't you see? You have ears, don't you hear? I mean, isn't that a notorious fact? Is poor lesser? Does it make you less of a man because you don't have a lot of money? I should say, does being rich gain more respect from God? Oh, God must love you. Look what He's given you. Well, I hear someone on the radio even now saying, well, why does the Lord have poor people? Well, this isn't an easy question to answer, especially if we are poor ourselves. God could make them all rich if He pleased. You could all be driving gold Mercedes-Benz if He pleased. We could all live in castles if He pleased. We could all pray and it would rain manna. He could send us quail like He did in the camp of Israel. Why then, I hear you ask, are there poor people? I mean, and I hear this all the time, the cattle on a thousand hills are His. Well, then everybody should be eating roast beef sandwiches, right? Everybody should be RBing out. He could make all the rich give up all their wealth. Well, what's the answer? Well, I have the answer in part. He does not choose to do so. Doesn't that just irk folks? God doesn't want to do it. He's got poor people and He's got rich people. Why doesn't He change things? He doesn't want to. Well, isn't poverty of the devil? Was Jesus rich when He came here? Ooh. See, a whole lot of us are out of affliction, so we don't really see, we really don't grab the answer. But one thing it does teach us, it teaches us to be grateful. Aren't you grateful when you see some other folks? Even the poorest of the poor in the United States, if they went over to Ethiopia and stayed there for one day, wouldn't that make you praise God? Are you listening on the radio? You at the very top of the IDS building looking down. Surveying. Doesn't it make you want to praise God when you see all these poor people shuffling around? We had a young girl from a TV station. And she was asking questions last week down at the Hobo Run. And we got all done, and I looked in the car. I says, doesn't this make you just want to praise God that you don't have to stay down here? Aren't you going to enjoy your tea and crumpets when you get home? And she kind of looked at me, and I says, I know I'll enjoy mine because I don't have to stay here. I don't have to wander back under some bridge. I don't have to wrap up in some old newspapers. Doesn't that make you want to praise the Lord? See, we can get to complaining because we don't have as much as the next guy. But how about praising God for having more than this other person over here? Doesn't that teach us something? You listening on the radio, come on down and come to one of the bread runs over on Selby and Dale on Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Come on down on Saturday and go up to a bread run. Now it's a huge vegetable run, a fruit run, a grocery run, because God has increased it. Tomorrow we have like 3 tons of lettuce to give away. Let us rejoice. You come down, you that have money, take a look at the folks laughing and skipping along the street with 400 pounds of groceries. I'm not kidding you, the bags are so heavy, I don't know how some of these old people can pick them up. I could barely give this older woman a bag. I said, "Ooh, here you go." And she says, and she grabbed it and she had it in her arm. She started talking. And she's standing there talking with this, toting this huge bag. I wonder who was helping her. Come on down and see someone slurping on a bowl of soup. Listen to all the hungry ums and ahs. You're going to feel very fortunate. It never ceases to amaze me when people come to work and they work in the clothing room or something like that, and they get in there and the women come down, and you know how women are at sales. Well, this is sort of a sale down there. We have all these nice racks down there of clothes. It's just like Dayton's downstairs. And they go in there and they start heaving clothes all over the place. Well, rich or poor, women are all the same. They want to get them clothes. It's a sale. I mean, it's a real sale because they don't cost anything. So they got to pull them off the rack, try them. That one, no, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. And we don't have sizes on them. So, I mean, they got to move. And so you get some people down and they'll donate their time. Oh, people just don't appreciate these clothes. It isn't that at all. They want to get while the getting's good, just like any gal. Rich or poor. They might have a hold of a leg of pants one wants and the other one wants the same thing. They rip them in half. I say, each got a leg. That's okay, I got it first. They don't care. It's on sale. When people come, they have the right to sit down. Hey, you didn't wait on me. We wait on people here. Anyway, I've been sitting here 15 minutes. Well, that's a legitimate gripe. What's that got to do with being poor? Rich or poor, we don't like to wait 15 minutes. One person even said, now see, now you've spoiled people. Used to have them standing in line with their little bowl, and now we wait on them and we have, you know, full meals. Now, why not? Why not? Don't you think there's room for improvement within ourselves? And remember, praise God, when the clock strikes 1 o'clock, we're closed here. Allow the people the privilege of being people. Did you hear what I just said there? Well, don't people really appreciate anything? Sure they do. But people are people. Never forget this Jewish friend of mine. He says, people are people. How true. How true that the grace of God works on rich or poor, good or evil. Are you hearing this? Go on into some of the homes and see the heat turned way down or probably off. Go into some of the homes and see cords stretched from one apartment building to the next with one little light bulb because they couldn't pay the bill. Go on into some of the homes around about the United States. Around about the world, I should say. But let's just contend with our own here. Moms are sleeping on old Davenports. Looks like camels, you know what I mean? And yet, there are hundreds that come together and get into these great big claiming and proclaiming ministries for themselves, and they become blinded to the needs of others.
There you have it. That was episode 221. That was part one, The Invisible People. Be sure to listen to part two on Sunday. Also, I should mention here, when Pastor Paul refers to the holiday giveaways, he was referring to the holiday giveaway in 1986, Thanksgiving. And you can read more about that at Pastor Paul's website, www.pastorpaul.org, under Media Events. We scanned the news article. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Sunday. Got to get that phone. Bye now.
Elgatomo, 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 child, Elgatomo. Oh, when the Lord get ready, Elgatomo. Get ready, Elgatomo.